The book of Ephesians, chapter 2, we'll be focusing on verses 7 through 10 this morning, but I'm going to begin the reading at verse 4 once again so that we pick up the context. Ephesians chapter 2, beginning at verse 4, "But God, being rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our transgressions, made us alive together with Christ, by grace you have been saved, and raised us up with him, and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the ages to come he might show the surpassing riches of his grace in kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not as a result of works, so that no one may boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand so that we would walk in them." Heavenly Father, we have sung this morning in worship that it is all of your grace. Lord, our salvation, all of your grace. Our sanctification, all of your grace. Our glorification, all of your grace. Lord, that you might show the surpassing riches of your grace in kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. By your Spirit, Lord, may we see your ultimate eternal purpose for your church today, in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Well, maybe someone has received a trophy at some point during your life. Maybe you were on an athletic team or something and you received a trophy. Maybe some of you haven't received a trophy. Maybe you received a certificate or a plaque or something like that. Maybe a degree or diploma from some educational institution of some sort. And maybe, I don't know, a lot of mine are in boxes now, but maybe you have your trophies on a shelf somewhere displayed for people to see, or your diploma for people to see in some way. So if you have that and someone came and they looked at your trophy and they said, "Oh, what a beautiful trophy. It's just a wonderful trophy or certificate or whatever it is. It's just beautiful." And they admired your trophy, and said nothing else, and left without asking anything else about it, how would you feel? You would feel, I think, that they missed the point, wouldn't you? All they saw was the trophy, and they gave the honor to the trophy. But to you, the trophy represents what? Represents something that you accomplished. The trophy represents you, right? Doesn't represent itself. It represents you. It represents what you did. Your diploma or your degree represents something that you accomplished. You spent the time, you paid the money, you did the homework, you did the reading and the assignments, you earned the degree. And that degree says that. And if all anybody does is say, oh my, what a beautiful piece of paper you have hanging on your wall, they've missed the point. Now, here in Ephesians 2:7, we see God's ultimate purpose that we're going to be speaking of in the next several moments. His ultimate purpose is that he might show the surpassing riches of his grace. That God might display the church as a trophy of his grace. Who gets the honor for the trophy? Yeah. Does the trophy get the honor? No. The person whose trophy it is gets the honor. You being a trophy of God's grace, do you get the honor? Well, any honor you get is only reflected from Him. God gets the honor for you being a trophy of His grace. God's ultimate purpose for His church. Now, concerning verse 7, let's just ask a few questions. Verse 7 answers a why question. The why question is answered, and you can see this at the beginning of verse 7 with the words, so that, or in order that, in the ages to come, he might show the surpassing riches of his grace. That's the answer to why. Now, the why has to do with the three verbs that we've looked at in verses 5 and 6 already. And so if you'll look there, you'll see these three verbs. He made us alive together with Christ, verse 5. He raised us up with Him, verse 6. And He seated us with Him, also in verse 6. Why? Why did God make you alive in Jesus Christ? Why? Why did God raise you up with Jesus? And why did God seat you with Jesus at the Father's right hand in heavenly places? Why? And to keep it in the context of the whole book, we could go on all the way back to chapter 1. Why did God choose you? Why did He choose you? Why did He forgive you? Why did He redeem you? Why did He give you an inheritance in Christ? Why did He give you His riches? Why did He bless you with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ Jesus? Why? And the answer is, He did all of that to display His glory, to display His grace. So, the what question. What is God's ultimate purpose in verse 7? That He might show the surpassing riches of His grace. That God, to all creation, yes, to His church, we will see, to Israel, we will see, to angels, God is displaying, and He is displaying it eternally, the riches of His grace. The riches of His grace are not a separate thing from His own glory. Say, well, where do you get that? Well, look back in chapter 1, verse 6. To the praise of the what? Glory of His grace. What is the purpose of your salvation? It is so that God will be glorified. God will be honored, to the praise of the glory of His grace, which He freely bestowed on us in the Beloved. Chapter 1, verse 7. In Him we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of His grace, which He lavished on us. His glory, His grace, that is the purpose of your salvation. That is the purpose of the church. The purpose of the church is to be a display, a trophy of God's glory and grace. That is the purpose of humanity. That's why there are people, for God's glory. That is the purpose of history. That is the purpose of the whole Bible. That's the purpose of everything. It's the display of God's glory. And it's done in His grace. That's the purpose of the church. Now the when question. Verse 7 says, in the ages to come. Now from Paul's perspective, when he wrote this, the ages to come would be the rest of this present age, the church age, the coming age, which is the millennial kingdom, and eternity, the ages to come. In other words, we could say now and in the future and forever, what is God's ultimate purpose for you? That you will be a display of His glory forever. Wow. Say, do you have purpose and meaning? You have purpose and meaning now, and you have purpose and meaning forever. Even if you never got a trophy from anybody, you get to be one. You have a purpose now, and you have a purpose forever. And so 10 billion years into the future, will you have a purpose? And your purpose will be to display God's glory. Eternally. That is why you are saved. You say, well, I thought it was so that I would get to go to heaven when I died. No, that is a byproduct. That's not the purpose. Yes, you get to go to heaven because of your salvation in Christ. But the purpose is to display God's glory. The how question in verse 7. You see at the end of verse 7, three prepositional phrases. These three prepositional phrases describe the purpose. He might show the surpassing riches of His grace. Prepositional phrase 1, in kindness. In kindness. Prepositional phrase 2, toward us. Prepositional phrase 3, in Christ Jesus. How does God display the riches, the surpassing riches of His grace through His church forever? How does He do it? Verse 7 says, He does it in kindness. Now this is an amazing thought. That you would believe in Jesus for your salvation is an act of God's kindness. Now we have already seen in chapter 2 verses 1 through 3 and in verse 5 that before we were saved we were dead in our sins, unable to do anything that would please God. anything. And we were children of wrath. What did we deserve before we were saved? We deserved God's anger. We deserved His wrath. We deserved His judgment. We deserved hell. Everyone who is not yet saved deserves hell. Deserve it. Say, well, what have I earned? Hell. Well, haven't I, by my good works, haven't I done anything that pleases God that I get out of it? And the answer is no. If you're not saved, you haven't done anything that pleases God that gives Him glory. Nothing. You're dead. Amen. So, that's what we deserve. Well, how is it that we believe? God, out of His sovereign will in choosing you, has chosen to be kind to you instead of showing you His wrath. The word kindness is related to the word grace. His kindness, His grace to you. Do you deserve God's kindness if you're not saved? No. Someone says, well, but don't I mean, doesn't life owe me a little kindness? Life doesn't owe me anything. Oh. But you do know there are lots of people who think that life and God and other people owe them all kinds of stuff. But God freely and sovereignly shows His kindness. This word kindness is the same word that you see in Romans chapter 2, verse 4, that tells us that it's God's kindness that leads us to change our minds and believe in Jesus for salvation. God's kindness does that. God shows His grace, the surpassing riches of His grace, by being kind to those who believe. How else? He shows the surpassing riches of His grace, the second prepositional phrase, toward us. Toward us who believe. Does God show the surpassing riches of His grace through everybody? No, He does not. He shows the surpassing riches of His grace through us, His church. Those who believe. And the third prepositional phrase, He shows the surpassing riches of His grace in Christ Jesus. Now, we won't go through them, but I've listed again in your notes the places where in Christ or some form of that is used throughout chapter 1. We see it here now in chapter 2, verse 7, in Christ Jesus. God, the Father, displays the riches of His grace. How? In Christ Jesus. God the Father never does anything for His church without doing it with His Son. God never does anything for His church apart from His Son. God the Father never does anything for you without Jesus. Now, that is an amazing thought to meditate on for days. Everything God does for His church, He does how? In Christ. He does it in Christ. It's all in Jesus. How is the Father's grace displayed? How is His glory displayed? The answer is Jesus. Jesus at work in you. So this is God's ultimate purpose, that now and in the ages to come and forever, God's glory would be seen in you. That's why. Now, verses 8, 9, and 10, and we'll just kind of give an overview of them this morning and come back to the details in them next time. But verses 8, 9, and 10 give two supporting reasons for God's purpose. Remember, God's purpose is that He alone gets all the glory, right? That's His purpose. Now, there are two supporting reasons for this. Now, how do you see there are two supporting reasons? Verse 8 begins with the word for, F-O-R. Or because. So verses 8 and 9 are a supporting reason. And verse 10 begins with the word for, F-O-R, or because. So verse 10 is another supporting reason. So here's the first supporting reason in verses 8 and 9. God alone saves us by His grace. God alone, by grace alone. That's salvation. Verses 8 and 9. Our salvation, in verse 8, is not by any of our participation or efforts. You did not participate in producing your own salvation. Not even by believing. God did that. God did it all. It's not by any of our efforts, including mental thought efforts. By grace are you saved through faith. By grace are you saved through what? Faith. Not by anything you do, not by works, it says. Not by works of any kind. Not by thinking real hard. By faith. By grace are you saved through faith. Anything else? No. Grace alone. Faith alone. God alone. All in Him. Christ alone. That's it. That's how salvation comes. Not of works. It is, verse 8, solely by the gift of God. We'll come back to this next time. What is the gift of God? It is the gift of God. The answer is the whole phrase, by grace are you saved through faith. Is grace the gift of God? Yes. Is being saved the gift of God? Yes. Is faith the gift of God? Yes. All of them are the gift of God. You cannot believe unless God gives you the gift of faith. Why? You're dead. Remember? If you're dead in trespasses and sins, you are totally unable to respond to anything spiritual, including to believe. But God made you alive. God raised you up. God seated you with Christ. God gave you faith to believe. It's grace, isn't it? It's all of His grace. Therefore, verse 9, no one may boast. No one may boast. All of us, when we get to heaven, somebody says, well, why did you get to heaven? Do you realize if somebody asks you, when after you're in heaven, somebody asks you, why did you get to heaven? The answer is not your testimony. The answer is God. Why did you get to heaven? God did it. God chose me. God redeemed me. God saved me. God made me alive. God did it. God gets all the glory. No one gets to boast. Oh yeah, I got here because I was smarter than those other people who didn't believe. No, 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 no. There will be plenty of smart people in hell. Well, I'm here because I just did better. I went to church 9 times in 7 days. You know, I did all these, I did good works. Yes, I believed, but I did all these things. Yeah, so no. There will be no boasting in heaven. Say, well, I'm here because I was one of the cool people. No. God has chosen the foolish things of this world to shame the wise. God's chosen the weak to shame the powerful. God gets all the glory. There will not be any boasting in heaven. This is a support for God's purpose. Because what is His purpose? He gets all the glory. How much do you get? None. Except He glorifies you in your glorification, so you get to share and eternally reflect His glory. It's all His. And you reflect His glory forever. You're not reflecting your own glory. It's all about the glory of God. So that God saves you by grace alone supports this purpose. If salvation came any other way than grace alone, then God wouldn't get all the glory. Only through Him. So, well, I don't like this. I would like to get some glory. Well, not in this you won't. This is God's. Supporting reason number 2 is verse 10. God alone created us as His workmanship in Christ. Look at it in verse 10. For, or because, we are His workmanship created in Christ Jesus. Now that's talking about you being a new creation in Christ. Creation in Christ. This isn't talking about your birth or Adam's creation. This is talking about your salvation. In your salvation, you are His workmanship created in Christ Jesus. How did your salvation happen? God did it. By His grace, He made you alive. God created us in Christ, verse 10 says, as His workmanship for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we would walk in them. Now, understand again, we generate no good works from ourselves. That is, we generate no truly good works before God. No unsaved human being does any good works or produces any good works that will please God at all. Now, they might be relatively good works. They might be nice neighbors and help with this or that. the other thing, but none of those things pleases God. No unsaved person produces any truly good works before God. Well, then where should good works come from? What does verse 10 say? Good works come from God. We are His workmanship. God worked in us to create in us good works that we would do. That's what verse 10 tells us. We are His workmanship. Now, we'll come back to that word next time, but workmanship, the Greek for it is poiema, and it is a word that later became known as the English word poem. We're God's poem. We're God's work of art. We're God's masterpiece. We are His masterpiece, created in our salvation in Christ for good works. And those good works are there because God prepared beforehand so that we would walk in them. Say, well, what do you mean prepared beforehand? Did God choose you beforehand for your salvation? Yeah, that's chapter 1, right? Verse 4, 5, 6. Yeah, God chose you beforehand. Do you know what else God chose beforehand? What you would do as a believer for His glory. God didn't just choose you beforehand and then say, okay, you'll be saved and you'll go to heaven. No, God chose you beforehand so that you would do good works that would bring Him glory, because those good works only come from whom? Him. Salvation is by grace, and truly good works, that is, the good works of a believer, are by grace. Good works are not by works. Good works are by grace. They are the gift of God to you that God prepared beforehand. They are the byproducts of your salvation. All of this is for the glory of God. So that God saves you by His grace proves that this is His purpose, and that you are His workmanship in Christ proves that this is His purpose. So, now and forever, the church, the life of the church, says, look at what God has done. Now and forever, your individual life as a believer says, look at what God has done. Even the rewards that you might get in heaven at the judgment seat of Christ, even those rewards give glory to God, because you cannot be rewarded for anything that He did not give to you and create for you in the first place. It's all of Him. It's all for His glory. Now, this is the essence and the purpose of everything. Why did God create the heavens and the earth? To display His glory. Why did God create angels, including the ones who fell and sinned? Why did God create angels? To display His glory. Why did God create animals? To display His glory. Why did God create people? To display His glory. But alas, people have not displayed His glory. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Human beings have failed to give God the glory. That's called sin. But Jesus, in the work of the gospel, in His death, His burial, His resurrection, His ascension, Jesus accomplished the payment for all of that sin, where we failed to glorify God. Jesus succeeded in glorifying His Father on our behalf. And God glorifies Himself in the saved when the saved believe. That's for God's glory. And then you will be able to fulfill your ultimate purpose in life, glorifying God forever. If you've never believed in Christ for your salvation today, understand you are not here by some accident. You are here because God chose that that would be you. Everyone who has believed in Christ for salvation, worship and praise Him. For this is all the display of His glory. Heavenly Father, we pray now that in all You will be honored. You will be glorified. We thank You, Lord, that You have shown to us the riches of Your grace. And there is so much more about Your grace that we will know in the age to come and in all of eternity. We thank You for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's